Thank you, Lord. You are our defender, Father. You are our God. You are here for us, always have been here for us, Father, and we thank you for that. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for who you are and what you're doing in this place, Lord, at this time and in this moment. Thank you that you are a God of the now, Lord Jesus, that you're doing a great thing in our hearts right now, today, Lord Jesus, that we don't have to say someday, but we can say today, my Redeemer lives. We don't have to say someday he'll forgive me. We say today he forgives me. We don't have to say someday that I will be free. No, today you are free because of what he did for us on the cross, and we are so thankful for that tonight, Father. We thank you for this time. We thank you for these women. We thank you those that are watching live right now, Lord Jesus. We just pray a special blessing upon them, Lord. Be with them, Lord Jesus, wherever they're at, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, this is yours, Lord. Do what you want to do. Speak what you want to speak. Hush what you don't want to be said, Father. I submit to your will and your ways here tonight, Lord. We just give it all to you, Father, because you're worthy of it. You're worthy of it all. We thank you for this topic tonight, blinded by unforgiveness. Father, we know that we cannot live this life holding on to things that you said to let go of, Father. And I just pray that this would be just an opening, an eye-opening experience for whoever needs this tonight, Lord Jesus, that they can step into the fullness of who you are and what you have for them based on what your word says for us here tonight, Lord. We thank you for it in advance, for setting us free, Father. Your word says that you come to set the captives free, Lord. We are not called to be captive, but we are called to be free and free indeed. And we thank you for that promise, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right. Tonight is Blinded by Unforgiveness. It is the second to the last one in our series. It's a very exciting one. I'm very excited to teach it here tonight. I really, really am. I think God's got something really good in store for you tonight. Unforgiveness in our lives, undealt with or untouched, can lead to pits in itself. Would you agree? Why? Because the object of forgiveness is to give it. I'm going to say that again. The object of forgiveness is to give it, to release it, not to hold it, to release it to somebody, right? And to give is an action. It's a verb, just like love. To give is an action, it's a verb. It takes a doing to accomplish. But how do you do when you're blinded by it? Come on. How do we do something that we are called to do when we are blinded by it? I think sometimes that we can become blinded by it, by the thought of, well, I deserve to hold on to this. Come on, right? I deserve to hold on to this against them. I deserve to have this. I deserve to keep this. This is kind of my, you know? I deserve to hang on to this because they did me wrong. They've treated me wrong. This is a wrong circumstance, and I kind of deserve to have this. I believe that that is what kind of blinds us into giving to give forgiveness, is that we think that we deserve to keep it. We deserve to hold on to it. I want us to turn straight into the Bible tonight and go to Matthew chapter 18. I was looking at the Spanish Bible before Bible study started because we have one up there. So if you have a Spanish Bible, it's Mateo. I was like, oh, fantastic. Mateo. I love it. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. And we're going to start right on verse 21. Are you ready? Amen. Good. One person. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Verse 24, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able, wait, did I skip a verse? Did I? No, I didn't. I'm good. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, since he was not able to pay. The master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had sold had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Verse 27. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. Verse 29. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Verse 35, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers from your heart." That is a really intense verse. When you read it, it's kind of one of those where you go, "Eek!" and your throat kind of gets stuffed up because it's kind of serious there. You know, if you don't forgive, you know, and you don't forgive from your heart, this is kind of what will happen to you. I kind of want to go through this and explain it verse by verse tonight, maybe what Jesus and what the Holy Spirit is really wanting to say here tonight regarding this. I love that Jesus starts this parable off with a king and a servant. I want to challenge you in your own time with reading the Bible. Pay attention to characters that Jesus talks about, especially in parables. They have meaning, and they have meaning into what into relationships and how he wants to teach us and maybe who he is and maybe his character. So he starts this parable off with a king and a servant. I love this because why? He is a king and I am a servant. Very good. It gives me insight into who he is and his nature, right? Because he's a king. So if we are his servants, God is longing, listen to this, God is longing to settle accounts with us. If he is the king and I am a servant, this parable tells me at the beginning that he is longing to settle accounts with us. Okay? Why? Because he wants for you to live in freedom. There's something more to this. He does not want us to live in pits. He does not want us to be led by something that takes us to pits. The Bible says that he wants us to be free, but what? Free in indeed. Now, I want to talk for just a minute on what the difference is between being free and free indeed. If you've been to my Bible studies in the past, I've talked about this, but I want to refresh it for our newbies here tonight. Free, okay, are you ready for this? Free is, I'm out. You were locked up. I'm out. I'm no longer locked up. But you spend the rest of your time free, not locked up, but you are constantly looking over your shoulder for that which tortured you. That's free, because you're free, okay? You're free, you're out of that prison, but you still are, is it gonna come get me again? Is it gonna come get me again? That's free. Jesus says that he came to make us free indeed. What's free indeed? Free indeed is I'm out and I don't look over my shoulder anymore. Because I believe what Jesus did on the cross is the exclamation point. It is the period. It is finished when he said it was finished. No longer do I look over my shoulder to see the enemy chasing me or to take a hold on my life. I am free indeed. Come on, how good would it feel to be free here tonight, but to be free indeed and not look over your shoulder constantly for that thing to come after you? You're free, ladies, and you're free indeed. Wow, that's good stuff. My focus is not on my past. When you're free indeed, your focus is not on your past. Your focus becomes on the future and the now and what God is doing here today. Okay? That's free and that's free indeed. So let's go to verse 26 real quickly. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." So what this tells me first about the servant, about my character, is that God honors humility. Come on. I can talk about 5 different people in the Bible that got on their knees before Jesus in humility or before the Lord, and the compassion of the king was shown, Esther being one of them. Humility, for some reason, just breeds compassion. It just does. Especially from one in authority. It just brings compassion.
And from God, it brings a ton of compassion. I think about David and the wrongs that he committed in his life, and he would immediately humble himself and get on his knees and ask for forgiveness, and God would grant him. He would be sovereign towards him and bless him and take care of him. God loves a heart of humility. Humility is something that breeds compassion. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Admitting that you were in the bad. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Even though in the back of your head you might not think you are. Okay? Because there's times like that. Sometimes we have to just kind of go in the direction of good, right? And let God kind of take care of our heart as we continue to make those right choices, right? We're always not going to feel like we want to do the right thing. We're always not going to feel like we want to forgive. But Jesus doesn't say, forgive and feel it. He says, do it. And as you do it, let your heart become what you're doing. And let it grow. And I will take care of the rest and I'll meet you where you're at. Okay? God is so good. Okay, so when we come into humility, repentance, I want to talk about a bigger picture here. Because I know that in situations like this, you know, compassion does come when we have humility. But there's a bigger picture happening here, which I love, because the Bible always gives us a bigger picture. Jesus always gives us a bigger picture with his parables, and I love it. When we come into humility, which is repentance, with the King, who is Jesus, right? Our debt is canceled. Just like this servant right here with the King. When we come into humility and repentance with the King, our debt is canceled. That is so simple, guys. It's so amazing. It's so simple. I wish that I could go to the bank and they would do that with my mortgage. I wish that was actually reality for some of the debt that we have here in this world. But I do know that it's reality with Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? So it's so simple. We make it so difficult and hard sometimes that we have to do all this stuff to receive God's goodness. But he's saying, just come in humility to me. Give me your heart, repent, and I will cancel the debt on your life. Wow. Outside of repentance and acceptance of Jesus, our debt is not canceled. Bottom line, guys, outside of repentance with Jesus and humility, our debt is not canceled. We can't just be good people and walk around and say, well, I'm good. No, we have to have that intimate exchange with Christ and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I ask you into my heart. I repent. And our debt is what? Canceled. We are washed whiter than snow. Outside of repentance and acceptance of Jesus, our debt is not canceled. But inside, it is. What an amazing thing to understand. Jesus forgives us when we come to him. Bottom line, he forgives when we make the effort and the heart that says, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'm sorry. That's the bigger picture of this parable. The magnitude of what we are being saved from, that's all I have to say. The magnitude, the bigness of what we're being saved from. Sometimes we don't realize what we're actually being saved from when we come into relationship with Jesus. Because we don't necessarily see the darker side of things. We want to see the good thing, the good side of things. But the magnitude of what we are being saved from. Let's look at verse 25. I feel like Jesus is giving us a glimpse of this. Verse 25. What are we being saved from? Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Ooh. Wow, we're being saved from being sold into slavery, guys. Do y'all see that? Wow, we are being saved from being slaves to our sin, being slaves to that thing that has that hold on our lives, that grabs us and constantly makes us work, 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 work in the wrong direction. We are being saved from that, and ultimately we are being saved from death, because slavery leads to hardship, which leads ultimately to weakening and death. Wow, how amazing. To know what I'm being saved from is enough to just fall prostrate on the ground before him. When I really look at what I'm being saved from, if we really focused with our relationship with Christ, every day, at least once or twice throughout the day, we focused on what we were being saved from, I believe that we would show more of the love of Jesus to other people. If we actually took, I'm not talking about meditating for hours every day on what he's done. I'm talking about just a thought and just a remembrance of what Jesus has saved us from in our lives, what he has saved us from. I think that that goes so far in showing the love of Jesus to the people in this world, just to remember what he's done for us. But what happens is we come up with our sin forgiven. Come on, we do. We come up with, you know how it is, we come up with our sin forgiveness, and we are cleansed and saved, and then we go out and we act with others like we did not just get the best gift ever. We get up freshened. We leave Bible study. We leave the podcast. We leave the car. We leave the worship time. We leave the service with this gift that Jesus has given us. And we walk out and we act with others like we didn't just have the most amazing experience with Abba Father. Why is that? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever thought, well, you know, so-and-so says they're a Christian, but I don't know. Or have you ever wondered for yourself, you know, why? I go to church and I'm reading the Bible and I pray. Why am I, how do I have this yuck in me? Especially towards others or disappointment that I have. Or what is this stuff going on? Have you ever thought about that even about yourself? We forget with others and ourselves because we have forgotten what was done for us first. Bottom line, we forget with others because we clearly have just forgotten literally what was done for us and what Jesus has saved us from. And when we operate from a place of old wineskins, we pour out old wine. It's just what happens. It's just what happens. When we go to a place of old, we pour out old. We don't pour out the freshness and the newness of what Jesus has done. Our daily recognition should be, I can't believe what my life has been saved from. I can't believe what Jesus did on the cross for me. I can't believe what he has saved me from. He's probably saved me from so much I haven't even seen what he saved me from. Because I've been saved from so much, I will show others today the compassion of Jesus because he first showed me. Come on, the Bible says that we love others, but what? We are first loved by who? By God. When we recognize his love for us, then we can love others. We can love the way that Jesus loved because Jesus recognized that the Father loved him. That's why he had so much compassion for people, even when they treated him wrong. It goes a long way when we recognize that we have been saved from so much, we can share that with other people around us. It's amazing. Let's look at verse 28 real quickly. Verse 28 says, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. As I read this, I thought, man, he has a lot of anger. He needs to go to anger management, right? I mean, he's upset. I mean, he not only didn't forgive this guy, he got physical with this person and began to choke him and said, give me what you owe me. And I thought to myself, does unforgiveness produce anger in our lives? Does unforgiveness produce anger in our hearts? Does it produce anger in our emotions? Thus, it brings out anger in our response to people when they don't do what I want them to do at the moment? Yes, it does. It does. It produces anger. Do you have anger here tonight? Come on. Do we have anger here tonight? If you have anger in your life, you might be holding unforgiveness. Because I believe that unforgiveness is the root to a lot of emotional issues that we deal with. And it's actually proven, guys. They have done so much study, psychiatrists and tons of people have done so much study on physical ailments and emotional mood swings and emotional disturbances, and it all goes back to a root that someone was dealt wrongly at one time and they never released it. And as soon as they release it, people were saying that fibromyalgia that they had their whole lives was being gone, that autoimmune diseases were leaving their body, that these amazing things were happening because they got to the root of this place of unforgiveness in their heart and they released it finally and their body could respond to the healing power of Jesus. It's for real. It's for real. It's for real. So do we have anger? When we look inside, do I get angry? Do I get angry? Lord, is there unforgiveness in my heart? Is there someone that I need to forgive? Do I need to release something? That is the first thing you should check when you have this that comes up out of you. There was a time in my life that, actually sometimes it still happens, but not as much anymore, but there was this one person that was in my life, and they were in my life pretty readily, so it happened a lot more than I wanted it to. But every time I thought of them, saw them, or heard of them, I wanted to literally punch their face. I mean, it just was. I like could not stand this person. They bothered me to the core, and I hated that I felt that way. You know, here I am, you know, trying to teach the Bible and read the Bible and all this stuff, and I hated every time when I thought of this person or when someone talked about this person, I got angry. I literally was like, phew. I mean, everything within me, I mean, I'm not a violent person, but I could feel it on the inside of me, and I thought, Lord, why all this anger? What is going on? I don't want to be angry. You know, I began to say, Lord, I confess my anger. I give it to you. I don't want to have anger towards this person. I don't want to deal with this, and the Lord says, just forgive. Just forgive. And I didn't really know what I was forgiving, but I think I'm forgiving hurt or disappointment or things that I didn't get from this person or lack thereof. But exactly. She didn't know she even had that power. You're right. Who says it was a she? Maybe a she, maybe not. You never know. So, just so interesting to me. So I began to release forgiveness and say, I forgive. But now I had to want to get there. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we like to sit and we like the feeling that we have to punch people out. It's kind of like we're blinded by it. It's mine. It's mine. Rah! You know, we get kind of proud of it. It's mine. Rah! You know? You know how we are? Yeah. We give it and take it back. Yes, we give it and take it back. So I asked the Lord, I said, okay, so Lord, I'm saying forgiveness. So I repented and said, I forgive. I went through this whole prayer. I forgive. Whew, and I felt released. You know, I felt really good. But then the next day, that person came up into my thoughts again, and I got angry. And I said, Lord, what is this? I said, I already forgave once. Come on. You know? But the Lord says, do it again. And I said, oh, okay. So I forgave again, you know, did the whole thing again. Felt great, felt released, went on about my day. A week later, someone brought that person up in a conversation. What do you think happened? I got angry. I felt it inside me. I got angry and I thought, what in the world? I stepped outside and said, okay, what's going on? You know, that's twice now I've forgiven them. What's going on? Why am I still getting angry? And Jesus gently I love the Holy Spirit. He's so gentle, but yet so strict, you know? You know how he is. And he says, 77 times, Amanda, however long it takes until it's completely gone. And I said, you're right. Guys, we don't just forgive once. We forgive every time it comes up in our head, every time it comes up in our hearts, every time it comes up in conversation, every time you experience any kind of anger or resentment or bitterness or frustration towards a situation, immediately take the captive's thought, make him obedient to the word of God, and say, I forgive. And eventually, your heart is going to catch up to your mouth speaking the truth of God's word, and there's going to be healing. And I will tell you, I have forgiven this person 100 times, I think. A lot. A a lot. And now when I hear their name, I don't get angry anymore. I'm telling you, it doesn't come up the way it used to. It just doesn't. It takes a lot of the enemy to kind of in order for it to come back. But if it does, I know exactly what I have to do. And there is no condemnation when I have anger because I know exactly what to do. Jesus set me free by giving me this tool. I can forgive. I can forgive. You know how sometimes we get so hard on ourselves? Oh, why do I keep feeling this way? It's okay. You're human. We have emotions. But we also have the tools of Jesus' word, and we know how to get rid of that which tries to take hold of us. Don't let unforgiveness take root, because when it takes root, that's when it begins to seep in and kill, steal, and destroy our lives. And the only one it is hurting is who?
You.
Not that other person. It's only hurting you. You're the only one. You've got the tools. Jesus has given them to you. Forgive. 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 Just like I have forgiven you. Ooh. And eventually, those thoughts, those emotions, you'll almost be the opposite of what you felt before. I'm going to tell you something. The magnitude of Jesus' love is unreal. It's going to make me cry right now. But I'm going to tell y'all something. There are times when that person comes now up in my thoughts, and I have compassion and love for them to the point where it makes me weepy. And you know what that is? That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. That's the confession of God's word. That's saying, I want my heart to line up with his heart. And I found myself praying for them and blessing them and saying, Father, just be with them, protect them, bless them. Lord, give them back what the enemy has stolen. And I'm like, where is this coming from? And I'm confessing. I'm like, what are you doing? But I'm still confessing and praying and believing for God's best for them. Because you know what? It's freeing and healing to me. It brings healing into my life. Woo! That's some good stuff when you can do that. That's when you hear people doing crazy stuff. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about blinded by anger. How people have been, what was it at the church in South Carolina, right? Where the man came in and he went to the Bible study and then he got up and started shooting all the people in there. And how the people that were the family members of those people went to the jail and visited him. I mean, that's pretty miraculous when you think about it. I mean, you can hold a lot of hostility, anger, and you have a right to be angry and mad because this was wrong. What was done was wrong, right? Because you've been dealt a wrong hand. But here they are serving this man, giving him, and I think it's because they have said, I forgive because he first forgave me. And I know that I have been saved from so much that I can give this out and bless this person right now. Because their eternal life is greater than my temporary circumstance and emotion. Their eternal life is greater than my temporary circumstance and emotion. Let's look at verse 31. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Man, Jesus is so detailed when he wants to teach us something really, really specific. I'm going to tell you something. There are people watching you. There are people watching what you do. And if you're confessing that you're one thing and then you're dealing someone else something else, people are watching. Come on. They're watching you. They want to see that your actions line up with what you speak about or what you post about or what you do or what you claim or what you read about. They want to see that your actions are lining up with what you're preaching and talking about and believing about. People are waiting to see if you live out what you firsthand experienced. Are we living out to others what Christ has done for us? That's the daily journey. That's the daily journey. That's the daily journey with Jesus. Verse 34. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. I believe that in lack of unforgiveness toward others, we create our own torture and pain. I believe this is what this tells us.
When Jesus says, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. When we don't release the forgiveness that we are called to release, we create our own dungeon, jail, and it's painful. And it's painful. And it's clear. Jesus is warning us right here in his word. It's clear. He's saying, come on, guys. When you don't do this, you create your own pain and torture. It's only hurting who? You. It's only hurting you. When you live a life blinded by unforgiveness, it is torture for you, because the only one hurting from what you won't give is you. It's you. And we think that we're doing the other person, you know, we think that we've got this thing over this other person, but that person is living their life, doing their own thing, whatever. What you're holding against them is not doing anything to them. It's only hurting us. It's only hurting your temporary emotions and eventually your health physically when we don't give it. Forgiveness is meant to be given because it was freely given to you. I'm going to say that again. Forgiveness is meant to be given because it was freely given to you. How does this look in reality? Well, Amanda, this looks fantastic. I love this parable. This is great. This is so good. But how do I apply this into my daily life? Are you ready? Are you ready? Get your pen ready. When it hurts and you don't want to give it, because there's going to be times like that. Remember when that man cut me off? And I had a real choice right there. When it hurts and you don't want to give it, kind of like when I was in that moment with that man. Right then, think of what was given to you by Christ. Think of what was given to you by Christ. And when you think on things that are lovely and are good and of a good report, your perspective changes and forgiveness comes like honey for you to pour on others. I believe that when we take that thought captive in our hearts and in our minds, and we immediately line it up with the Word of God, which is what Paul says to do, and the Word of God says what? That we are forgiven, that Jesus has saved us from so much. When we realize it and we say, oh my gosh, Jesus, thank you for what you have done for me. You have saved me 100 billion times. I don't even know how many times you saved me. Thank you so much for saving me. You have given me so much. Then open your eyes and then look at how you look at that person now. I guarantee you will look at them and say, I forgive you. I'm not going to allow you to put me in torture. I'm not going to allow you to put me in some kind of my own little prison. I forgive you. And if I have to do it 150 times, I will. Because I choose what Christ did for me. And I choose to give it as an example. When it hurts, change your thought immediately. It's a thought. Then it's a choice to make. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to live in torture and pain because of not giving something given to me. Look at this, Ephesians 4:32. You can write it down on your piece of paper and look at it later. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving each other as what? As Christ forgave you. Bing, 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 bing. If you were on Jeopardy, you would have won. As Christ forgave you. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. So what does that say? Forgive me as I forgive others. Woo! As I forgive others. That makes you really want to forgive a lot of people, right? Because you want Jesus to forgive you. You're going to go out and be like, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, because I need to be forgiven, because I know I'm in the wrong. Jesus said, dying on the cross, this is amazing. Father, here he is being inflicted by so much pain, and he's interceding for the people inflicting him pain. He's interceding on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Most of the time, people that inflict harsh pain know not what they do. Hurt people hurt people. Bottom line. And Jesus understood that.
And he's on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them. Here's these people inflicting so much pain, and he is interceding on their behalf to Abba Father while receiving this pain. Wow. Is that a deep picture for us to look at here tonight? That's kind of like getting to that place where you start praying for the ones, praying for your enemies, kind of how Jesus says, and blessing them and praying for them to prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers, praying for their salvation, praying that they will come into an understanding of who God is to them. That's a big picture to live up to. But you know what? You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. With his help, you can do it when you allow the Holy Spirit to come and just surround you. And you say, I'm going to take that thought captive and I'm going to line it up. I'm going to do what your word says. I'm going to give this out because I know that it will be healing and it will create a future for me. This is beautiful. Forgiveness while being inflicted. I want us to close our eyes here tonight. Just put your pens down and just close your eyes. What is causing us to be angry? What's causing us to be angry here tonight? What causes that angst in our hearts? That do you see it? Can you label it? Can you picture it? Now I want you to say, I forgive it. I forgive it. I forgive this thing right now. I release it. It's not mine to carry. No longer will I be in torture and in pain. I release forgiveness 77 times if needed. Let it go and release it. Stop holding on to something that needs to be released, that needs to be gone. Allow the Holy Spirit to infuse you with his presence, his grace, and his peace. And don't give yourself a hard time for not doing this earlier, because we'll do that too. Why didn't I do this 7 years ago? It's okay. God is the God of now, and he's excited about what you're choosing to do right now, because he can work with right now, and he can change the course of time by your choice right now. Come on. God is good, and he's got good things in store for you. And his promises never fail, for they are new every morning. Father, we thank you so much for the chance and the ability to forgive. What a gift that we get to do, that you have given us, that we get to give out, Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's anything that we hold inside of our hearts, anything that causes us anger or angst, Father, that we would just release it immediately to you, Father. Would we allow the Holy Spirit to work in that place that has been hardened by circumstances, that it be softened by your love and your grace and your compassion, Father, that we may see those people as people that you love, that you died on the cross for them, Lord. And that we'll find ourselves, instead of wanting to hit them, that we find ourselves wanting to hug them and say, God loves you, and pray for them and pray for their future and their prosperity, Lord. If only we can get to that place with people that have brought pain into our life. Lord Jesus, thank you. That is the picture of the cross, where it can take us to places we never even thought possible. Lord, we just give this night to you because it's yours. Holy Spirit, minister this week as we go about doing the things we're called to do, Father. Just minister to our hearts, Lord. Show us places in our hearts, other places that we might be holding things in, Lord, that you will show us those places so we can be released from the torture and the pain of unforgiveness. And we can enjoy the fellowship and the newness of what you represent and what the cross came to give us. We thank you so much for all this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.